The Old Testament reading is from Zephaniah chapter 3. Sing aloud, O daughter of Zion. Shout, O Israel. Rejoice and exult with all your heart, O daughter of Jerusalem. The Lord has taken away the judgments against you. He has cleared away your enemies. The King of Israel is the Lord, is in your midst. You shall never again fear evil. On that day it shall be said to Jerusalem, Fear not, O Zion. Let not your hands grow weak. The Lord your God is in your midst, a mighty one who will save. He will rejoice over you with gladness. He will quiet you by his love. He will exult over you with loud singing. I will gather those of you who mourn for the festival so that you will no longer suffer reproach. Behold, at that time I will deal with all your oppressors, and I will save the lame and gather the outcast. And I will change their shame into praise and reown in all the earth. At that time I will bring you in. At that time I will gather you together, for I will make you reowned and praised among all the peoples of the earth. And when I restore your fortunes before your eyes, says the Lord. This is the word of the Lord. The epistle is from Philippians chapter 4. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again I say, rejoice. Let all your reasonableness be known to everyone. The Lord is at hand. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and supplication and thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. This is the word of the Lord.
The Holy Gospel is according to St. Matthew, the 7th chapter. The disciples of John reported all these things to him. And John, calling two of his disciples to him, sent them to the Lord, saying, Are you the one who is to come, or shall we look for another? And when the men had come to him, they said, John the Baptist has sent us to you, saying, Are you the one who is to come, or shall we look for another? In that hour he healed many people of diseases and plagues and evil spirits, and many who were blind he bestowed sight. And he answered them, Go and tell John what you have seen and heard. The blind receive their sight, the lame walk, lepers are cleansed, and the deaf hear, and the dead are raised up, and the poor have good news preached to them. And blessed is the one who is not offended by me. When John's messengers had gone, Jesus began to speak to the crowds concerning John. What did you come out to the wilderness to see? A reed shaken by the wind? What then did you come out to see? A man dressed in soft clothing? Behold, those who are dressed in splendid clothing and lived in luxuries are in the king's courts. What then did you go out to see? A prophet? Yes, I tell you, and more than a prophet. This is he of whom it is written, Behold, I send my messenger before your face, who will prepare your way before you. I tell you, among those born of women, none is greater than John. Yet the one who is the least in the kingdom of God is greater than he. This is the gospel of the Lord.
Grace and peace to you from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. The text for today's message was the gospel lesson. Reputation is defined as an estimation in which a person or thing is commonly held. Reputation is either based on what you have done or what is believed you have done. Take a small town, for example. Now, see, I grew up in Detroit, so this wasn't true. But in a small town, like I heard Franklin was when many of you grew up, that you could cross onto the wrong side of the tracks. I guess there was the wrong side of the tracks in town back in the day. And your parents would immediately know because somebody along the way would go, that is so-and-so's kid, I'm going to call and let them know. You couldn't get in trouble in a small town because everybody knew who you were. See, that's luckily growing up in Detroit. I could get in trouble. Not that I did. But I could get in trouble and nobody would know it. Yes, they would. I was the only white kid on the block. But I actually said it. I don't believe that. Sometimes reputation is based on false information. Did you ever see a family who all looks alike? The kids all look like one of the parents. And you'll hear, you can't deny your brothers and your sisters. Well, the reputation then of the brothers and sisters fall on all the other ones. So if you got one bad apple in the group, what's that say about the rest of them? because they all look alike. You can't deny their family. And it takes a while to get past getting a reputation. If you want to be known by something else, whether that's spiritually or secularly, it takes time and it takes a lot of action. You know, when you first meet somebody, one of the first questions you always ask is, what do you do? You know, what do you do for a living? It's a common question. What we're doing is sizing ourselves up. Are you equal to me? Are you higher than me? Or are you lower than me in the social status? And then if it's two guys talking, it's what does your wife do for a living? Two women talking, what does your husband do for a living? Because also they look at the jobs, certain jobs have certain reputations. And I won't pick on any particular occupation because all work that is honest is God-pleasing. But some occupations you look at and go, it doesn't take a very bright person to do that one. It's unfortunate when sometimes we're known by what we do for a living rather than who we are. Which is more important, who you are or who do people see that you are? See, actions develop in the reputations. Take Judas, for example. In the Gospels, we know that Judas believed at one point. Judas healed. Judas cast out devils. But what's Judas known for? Of course, betraying Christ. How many times do we talk about the other things he did? Judas casting out devils. Judas healing the sick. Judas even teaching and preaching. We don't talk about that because his reputation is he betrayed the Christ. Now, the best American general in the American Revolution was who? Pardon? You want to say George Washington, then just have the chutzpah to say George Washington. Well, George Washington actually lost more battles than he ever won. There was one greater than Benedict Arnold. The entire Continental Congress declared him to be the best general that we had. He won spectacular battles. He actually won at Saratoga, which was the turning point. Badly wounded a second time, he led the final charge to defeat the British. Who am I talking about? Benedict Arnold? What's his reputation? Of course, a traitor. Or how about St. Peter himself? St. Peter is one of those who has a mixed reputation. Because St. Peter sometimes says the dumbest things in the gospel lessons. You know, like in Mount of Transfiguration. Lord, let's build three tabernacles. One for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah. And we'll just stay up here and hang out for a while. All right, that was one of his least brilliant moments. But then Peter will turn around when Jesus says, who am I? He'll turn around and say, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. Peter has a mixed reputation. He says dumb things, but then he says very bright things. In Acts 2 is one of the most powerful sermons ever given because it says 3,000 were baptized as a result, and Peter gave that sermon. But then later on, Paul has to come in from the missionary field because Peter's got it all messed up. Peter's got it messed up between the relationship between the Jews and the Gentiles. See, Peter's a mixed bag. I think that's why I kind of like Peter and can relate to him. Now, how in the future, how are we going to be remembered? First you do something and then the word spreads about you. The next people place a label on you based on what you've done. Then you accept the label and you become what they said about you. It's a very simple process, but it takes years. Luke chapter 7, verses 18 to 23. The disciples of John reported to him about all these things. Summoning two of his disciples, John sent them to the Lord, saying, are you the expected one? Or do we look for someone else? When the men came back to them, they said, John has sent us to you to ask, are you the expected one, or do we look for someone else? In that very time, he cured many people of diseases and afflictions and evil spirits, and he gave sight to many who were blind. And he answered and said to them, go and report to John what you have seen and heard. The blind receive sight, the lame walk, the lepers are cleansed, the deaf hear, the dead are raised up, and the poor have the gospel preached to them. Blessed is he who does not take offense at me. actions speak louder than words. These two disciples, by the way, were Peter and John. Peter and John had been disciples of John the Baptist first. Then when John the Baptist was arrested, he sent his disciples then to follow Jesus. And Peter and John are these two. That's just a sidebar note. But actions speak louder than words. Are you the one? Jesus very well could have answered, yes, I am. But how much weight would that have held with John? We don't know what John's motives were for asking that question. Was John asking it on his own because he wasn't sure, because he's in prison at this moment? Or is John asking it on the behalf of his disciples so his disciples know who they are about to follow? Jesus says, basically, don't look at the words I'm saying. Look at what I have already done. In John chapter 13, he says, a new commandment I give to you, that you love one another, even as I have loved you, that you also love one another. By this, all men will know that you are my disciples, if you love one another. Look at verse 35 again. By this, all men will know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another. People are going to know we are Christians by our actions, not as much by our words. Love has the power to heal. Love can bring the lost to being saved. And where love is, there is peace. Everything we do must start with the love of God. James 2 talks about faith and works. In James chapter 2, what use is it, my brethren, if someone says he has faith but no works, can that faith save him? Our faith is evident in our works, but the motivation for those works is love, and that's the love of God. I've heard it over the years that when someone dies, they've already preached their funeral sermon, meaning their life story was their funeral sermon. One of the pieces of advice I got when I was back in seminary was the easiest sermons you'll ever give is a funeral sermon for a believer. And that is so true. They've already written it. Yes, you can talk about their occupation, what they've done, but most important, you talk about their secular walk in life. Not how many promotions did they receive, but how did they serve the Lord in various capacities. Fly, you want to meet your maker? We preach our funeral sermon every day that we live, and it's in living color to people around us. What testimony are you giving by your lives? Reputation. It's either about fact or what's perceived about you. It's either based on fact or based on fiction. It's based on fact. It's a reputation I hope you want. Jesus' answer was, see for yourself. Basically, he was saying, the proof is in the pudding, guys. Go and look what I've already done. Now, Dr. Martin Luther King, what he did and sacrificed so much. Do you know he suffered from severe depression? He had troubles getting up giving those speeches with that level of enthusiasm because of the depression he suffered from. He absolutely believed that someday somebody would kill him. When he saw the funeral sermon of JFK, he said to those around him, I will die while I am still young. He was trying to do God's will in a very troubling time. Now, we could say, you know, he did these various other things, but what's he remembered for? What's his reputation? All right, he's one of the great leaders that our country has had in the last 50 or 60 years. Yeah, I guess 60. You know, I'm having a hard time figuring out the number of decades. Does that mean I'm getting old? All right. If you do not have love, it will not last. In conclusion, I found this quote. If people can feel our love when they are in our presence, both here and when we are not in church, by this they will know that we are Christian. We are making our reputation now as a church, as individuals. Let it be said that we are a congregation of love, a people of love. So may the peace of God, which is above all human understanding, keep our hearts and minds focused on Jesus Christ to life everlasting. Amen.